Ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão, um culto.
A coragem, que é a liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica. Até à morte.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Dela Benfica podcast, episode number 314, coming to you every week, either Tuesdays or Wednesdays, depending on Benfica plays. Here I am tonight with Cristiano Oliveira next to me. What's going on, Cristiano?
Hey, what's going on, Alfredo? How you doing, Dave? What's going on, my brother?
And Dave, which is the better looking of the Oliveiras. Dave the Oliveira is up in Canada. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be back on here tonight.
Right, so tonight, on tonight's agenda, we will look back at the Galatasaray game, the second leg of the Europa League round of 16. We'll also recap the Chaves game, which happened this past weekend, this past Monday. And we will close it up by looking ahead to Benfica's big game this coming Saturday at the Dragão against Porto. And we'll also discuss who our opponents will be in the next round of the Europa League. So here we are. Let's get right into this. Galatasaray game, second leg playing at Estádio da Luz. I'll give you the lineup. Almeida was at right back. Dias, Ferro, and Grimaldo. Behind that defensive line was Vlaco Dimos. In the midfield, Jetson and Florentino. On one side of the midfield, Pizzi. On the other, Servi. And up front, Felix and Seferovic. So, Cristiano, looking at this lineup, we talk a lot about rotation. Right, but Felix and Seferovic have been guys that have been out there almost every single minute since Lajos the Khan.
Yeah, look, right now those guys are hitting on all cylinders, so it really doesn't surprise me that he's sticking with them. But at the same time, it does surprise me that he hasn't given them a breather. And you have a guy like Jonas who's ready to go.
I don't know about that.
Why don't you know about that?
He was just in Madrid getting treatment on his back today.
Well, that was today, but on Thursday he was fine. I thought he was going to have a little bit more squad rotation, but considering that Almeida was suspended for the game against Chaves, and same thing with Ferro picking up a red card in Benfica's previous league game, he really stuck with those with the Velha Guarda. Shouldn't say the Velha Guarda because Ferro's not Velha, but the guys that you know are strongest right now to play those positions. And look, Benfica's playing well. Right now, it doesn't matter who's really in the lineup. It doesn't matter who's coming in, who's making their debuts. They're hitting on all cylinders, and I think he's content with what he's seen so far. And I think he's just rolling out his best lineup possible. Obviously, there's a couple of tweaks. Gabriel is including that best lineup possible, but you got Jetson some minutes. You got Florentino some minutes. You got Pizzi some minutes. So, I mean, there was a little bit of rotation, not as much as we expected. But again, Benfica is playing well. These guys are all confident, as we've mentioned here many times now since Bruno Lage has been appointed as Benfica head coach, that these guys are all confident playing on. He gives them confidence, and he's confident in any one player on the team. So it's a good sign, it was good to see.
Absolutely. So a game that Benfica pretty much controlled in perhaps third gear, we should say. And we never really saw the Benfica that we have seen in past games. There was more of a controlling factor, and to be fair, Galatasaray didn't really threaten. They did have a couple goals called out.
They threatened a little bit in the second half for a good 10-minute period. They threatened. I gotta say that. And you know, to be fair to them, they scored a goal that was eventually called offsides. But guys, let's be brutally honest. If there's any type of VAR in the Europa League, which I'm surprised there isn't no VAR, that would have been a legit goal. That was a legit goal. There was no way the Galatasaray play was offsides. So you know, obviously that one went in our favor. But Benfica, like you mentioned, I don't think that they really ever had to put it into another gear. I think that had a lot to do with what Galatasaray went into the Stade de Luz and put forth on the field. I thought they were going to be a lot more aggressive. I thought they were going to try to push things a lot more. But it looked like for most of the game, they were content just sitting back and letting Benfica touch the ball around. It was just everybody touching the ball back and forth. There was very few chances in this game. But to me, the surprising aspect of this game was more so that Galatasaray did not come forward looking for a result. Like I expected them to. I thought Benfica would be under fire, and they weren't, with the exception of 6 to 8 minutes in the second half.
Yeah, Galatasaray does have their limitations. Benfica, however, controlled and never really looked in danger. As a matter of fact, they've Benfica quite wasteful.
Yeah, very wasteful. That's the one thing I take away from this game is they did control this match from start to finish. 0-0 score line, but this team created lots of chances. They had 12 shots off target and 3 on target, and that would be my main concern for this team coming away from this match, is that they did not capitalize on their opportunities that they had. And even not to get too ahead of ourselves, but same thing in the Chaves match, 4-0 scoreline, but still could have been a way bigger scoreline. So that's my only concern from this Galatasaray match here.
Yes. I think if Benfica would have came away with a 2-1 victory, I think it would have been a fair, really like 3-1, but I think Benfica could have definitely put away some of those chances. I just didn't see much from Galatasaray. Again, Benfica, it wasn't the Benfica we've been accustomed to seeing under Bruno Lage. And I think that's the one thing that you know, I expected Galatasaray to be a lot more aggressive, and I did think Benfica was going to create a lot on the counterattack, but like, it wasn't. I don't know. It was just a weird game. It was, to me, in my mind, it was a really weird game because, I expected Galatasaray to put forth a better effort.
I don't think that Benfica played poorly particularly, right? I just think that when Benfica puts the intensity and the pace and the combinations and their movements, they could be a lot dangerous. And I think that at this point and coming away from Turkey with a 2-1 advantage, I thought that really Benfica didn't really need to exert themselves, that they were going to give possession to Galatasaray, wait on them, put on a counter, press when they needed to. Benfica never really did put it in a higher gear, as I mentioned. And look, good for them. They're now passed into the next round, and Benfica found out on Friday who they'll be playing. Oh, it's going to be Dinamo Zagreb from Croatia. The first leg will be played in Croatia on the 7th of March. And the second leg will be played on the 14th at Stade de Luz. So a favorable matchup for Benfica. Certainly Dinamo Zagreb, who is top of the Croatian league. But as you know, the Croatian league isn't really a big, huge league in Europe. Nonetheless, it's still a club that has its history, that has some weapons. But this is definitely a club that's accessible to Benfica.
Yeah, look. I didn't know enough about them. Looking them up, I think they've won like 12 out of their last 13 Croatian league titles. So this is a team that could play football. I mean, look, they do have some very good players. Some players you'll see making the jump to bigger leagues and possibly even this next offseason. But again, as you said, it's a team that Benfica, if they come out there and they play their best football, that Benfica should advance and should get through to the next round of the Europa League.
Yeah, so we'll get a chance to preview that matchup as we get closer to the game. But now we're going to turn our attention to the Chaves game. Benfica played Chaves this past Monday in a game that closed out this last round of the Liga NOS game, the Liga NOS championship, I should say. And I'll give you the lineup. Vlatko Dimuš was in goal. Korsia played right back as Andre Almeida was suspended. Dias, Samaris filled in for also suspended Ferro, and Grimaldo was on the left. In the midfield, Florentino and Gabriel. Pizzi on one side, Rafa on the other, João Félix and Seferovic. Up front, as I mentioned, those guys not getting any rest as far as the starts. But Samaris was dropped down to center back. Apparently, Conti seemed to be okay to go, but Bruno Lage decided to go with Samaris, perhaps because if Samaris has game rhythm and Conti hasn't. And Conti has been hurt for a while, so he's been out of action, but he is back training with the team. So Florentino got the start in the midfield. Game at Stade de Luz, typical game from Benfica, as we have seen in Bruno Lage. First goal in the 19th minute by Rafa. João Félix 2-0 in the 37th minute, and then Seferovic took us into the half 3-0 when he scored in the 43rd minute. So quite a calm and relaxing, and I'm sure a lot of fans enjoy seeing games like that for Benfica. They're not at all boring, especially the style that the team has been playing. But, you know, it's great to be in a stadium or to be watching on TV and to not have to worry that Benfica is dropping their lines too much and they're giving up too much. This is just a totally different Benfica from what we see in the past 3 months.
Yeah, hey. And you know, yeah, though we have we go into the half 3-0, the first 10 minutes of the game, I felt like we were kind of sleeping at the back line there. Odysseus bails us out with a couple of saves, and Shavs could have put one in right at the 10-minute mark as well. So though we do score 3 goals, luckily to finish off the first half, Shavs did create their only 2 chances of the match within the first 10 minutes of the game. And from there, luckily, Odysseus saved us, bailed us out, and we managed to bury some chances that we have going into the second half with a 3-0 lead.
I said last week here on the podcast that Shops played some quality soccer, and you guys scoffed at me. Now, that being said, Shops did
play very defensive, though.
They did create the early chances, okay? They could have easily gotten on the scoreboard if it wasn't for Blanco Dimas. It was only until Benfica scored their first goal that then they went defensive, and all of a sudden their game plan was out the window. But until then, they were playing good football, as I had mentioned earlier, and Benfica could have very easily been down 1-2-0 in the first 15 to 18 minutes.
Yeah, I mean that's tremendous efficiency to from Chaves, and we have seen teams like that they go down to Benfica's goal in the past and they score, and it basically that's the only time they've gone. But yeah, the thing is that I think that we sometimes overlook the importance of Vlaco Dimos, right? He was a guy that came in with some doubts. Obviously, replacing Varela was perhaps not as big of a task as some people thought, but he has come in, he has settled, he has adapted, and he's a guy that inspires confidence in this back line. And that's what we needed, because when you have a guy back there that you can count on, the back line plays a lot more relaxed and more free, because they know they can count on a guy that's behind them.
He still needs to come out of his line more, needs to play on top of his box a lot more. I think he plays way too deep. I think he's fantastic with his reflexes and playing in between the pipes. I just struggle at times to see him not come out for certain balls. He never holds on to a ball. I love him. Look, he's made some spectacular saves. I'm not criticizing the guy at all. I think he could only get better from here on out. But I do think that there's aspects of his game that could definitely be improved. And I think one of them is coming out and playing a little bit, you know, positioning himself kind of like as the old school sweeper to allow Benfica to push up the defensive lines a little bit further up the field, and let him kind of clean up things back there. And I think he just stays too deep in his box all the time. But aside from that, I think you're absolutely right. I think the Benfica, the whole team, not just the defenders, but the whole team is a lot more confident in this guy, considering what they've seen in goal over the last couple of seasons. This is a huge, not a couple of seasons, because the year before Edison, but you know what I mean. This is a huge upgrade over what we saw at Benfica last year. And I'm glad to see that he's able to make the saves that we expect the goalkeeper to make. And then he does also add in the spectacular save in there.
Dave, Benfica up at the half 3-0. Would you have expected perhaps the substitutions to come in a little earlier with Benfica in complete control of the game?
Yeah, you would hope, though, especially coming into a game where they can see we have Porto on the horizon as well. One good thing to take away: no injuries, no substitutions leading into this big derby that we have coming up.
Classic.
Yes, classical. That's correct. So we have that to be thankful for, that there was no injuries and no suspensions. But he brings in Jonas in the 72nd minute. And at least we get to see how Jonas and João Félix play up top, because usually when Jonas gets subbed in, it's either João Félix going off or João Félix isn't too far off Making his way out. So it was good to see how those two played up top. And I know that at the end of the match, Bruno Lage was asked that, and they've been in training sessions working with each other. So it was good to see that how those two work out, and going to be interesting to see the rest of the season if Seferovic takes over for Jonas and they play with João Felix and Jonas up top.
Yeah. And Cristiano Jota, another player made in Seychelles, making his first team debut.
Yeah, and I'm glad. It's about time. I thought there's been a couple of other occasions that I thought Bruno Lage could have gotten him into the games and gotten him some experience. But you know what? Getting back to Jonas real quick. Jonas came in, as Dave said, in the 72nd minute, if I'm not mistaken, and he did not look happy. I think this is a guy that's hungry. This is a guy that wants to score goals. He did get his goal. A little fortunate, but whatever. At the end of the day, who cares? It's about getting him in the back of the net.
Yeah.
He did not look happy. Looked like he wasn't even celebrating that much. Now, you dropped the bomb on me. I had no idea. I don't know. I've been a little bit busy today, guys. Please excuse me. I had no idea he was in Madrid for his back. I mean, so apparently in 18 minutes was enough to mess up his back.
Yeah. No, look, I think it might be something where, look, he's eager to play. He's hungry to play. But there's some limitations, obviously, there. There's limitations due to the fact that Seferovic has absolutely been on fire.
Leading the Liga NOS now in goals.
And then there may be a limitation, and I'm not saying whether this is true or not, but from what we've seen, it may be true, that he's not 100%. So he feels that his back is somewhat limiting to what he could do. I mean, you look at the guy running, and you could tell that he runs a bit limited. It's not his natural running motion. And if you guys have a chance, go look at the last 20 minutes of that game to see what I'm talking about. But this is definitely a guy that's hungry to play, that's hungry to help out this team, but it is somewhat affected by the circumstances, limited. Whether they're physical or whether it's because now he sees himself having to compete a guy he's never had to do that while at Benfica, this whole tenure at Benfica. So it obviously there's some feelings there that didn't really seem quite the natural Jonas with a smile, laughing and calling his teammates over, whatever, you know. But there's definitely something going on with Jonas, and I think that people could tell that.
At first, I was surprised that Lage wasn't making the substitutions at halftime, because we figured some of the guys have gotten a lot of minutes of
yeah.
could have gotten a couple minutes of breather. But you know what? Then I started thinking, it's like, wait, there's 4.5 full days. I mean, the game's going to be Saturday night in Portugal. So it's like close to 5 days of rest for these guys over the next week or so. They'll have plenty of refreshments. They'll have plenty of you know, opportunities to relax and get their muscles back and in the right form and just get ready for Saturday. So afterwards, I didn't make that big of a deal.
Yeah. So, Dave, as I mentioned, both Rafa and Seferovic getting on a board, and you got quite some good stats here on both of those guys.
Yeah, so Rafa's now tied his career best with his 12th goal of the season. Easily by far the best Rafa we've seen since he's joined Benfica. I know he had a rough couple of seasons.
And still very, very wasteful. Here.
Very wasteful. Him and Seferovic. You know, we talk about Seferovic as the leading goal scorer, but if he had Jonas's shoes sometimes, he'd be the leader by at least 10 goals because he is wasteful. He's at least good for two misses per game, along with his goals per game. But speaking of Seferovic, he's now the leading goal scorer, 15 goals, 8 straight game with a goal, and none from penalties. So he's been banging them without getting them from the PK spot there.
Yeah, this 8 straight goal streak that he has, this I believe this is very close to a record that Eusebio holds, if I'm not mistaken.
No, Jonas holds it at 10.
At 10. But yeah. So Eusebio must be like in the 7 or 8 or perhaps 9 games straight.
Was it Nolito around there? 7 games?
Nolito was also up was there. Close
he was challenging that streak.
That Eusebio held the record. Jonas took it over. Nolito was very close to reaching Eusebio until he was sat down by JJ. And now Seferovic, I thought I saw something on the Portuguese media. I think it was a ball that he said he has tied Eusebio or he's close to reaching Eusebio's streak. I'm not sure about that.
I think he's tied. He's currently tied with Eusebio at 8, but Jonas has the record at 10 for Benfica. And I think currently this season, I think in Europe across the big leagues, 8 is the record right now for consecutive games scored. So I think he's tied. What is it? Quagliarella or whatever in Italy. Or? Yeah.
Dude, your girlfriend is Italian. You can't pronounce Italian last name.
I don't watch Syria.
Oh, good one.
That's a great one. But since we're talking about consecutive games as well here, I believe Rafa scored for the third consecutive game for the first time in his career.
That's correct. Correct.
Wow.
Just wanted to go back to Rafa. Look, right now, guys, right now, Rafa is Benfica's most dangerous player.
Yeah. Look, despite him,
you agree or disagree?
I agree.
He creates chances and he can score the goal.
I think he's the most dangerous overall. I think he's the one that creates. He's the guy.
He's the guy that sparks the most.
I think he's the guy that knocks the opposition off their balance more. I think he's the guy that poses the biggest threat. Because there's one thing, guys. I always say this. There's a couple of things, very few things you can't teach in sports. One is speed, and the other one is just natural physique.
Ability, height.
No, ability you could teach. But you can't, you got to have it, you don't. But you can't teach speed, and you can't teach height. Can't teach, though, God-given. I mean, speed, you can improve it, but you either got it or you don't.
They're physical traits.
Absolutely. So, Rafa, right now, due to those physical traits, due to the fact that he could blow by anyone and he's still very wasteful, he knocks a lot of people off their feet. Yeah. You know, it's right now, Sferovic's putting the goals away. Juan Felix is fantastic. Gabriel, man, with the ball at his feet, he's fantastic. I said it here before, Professor Ginastica was let go. And I keep saying, the guy is a phenomenal player. Give him time. And he's doing that now. The assist off of the Juan Felix
so
back
ridiculous.
Heel. And then he gave it to Sferovic's goal. Just, I mean, that is fantastic. That is phenomenal. All that being said, Rafa is the guy that makes Benfica tick. When he's on, Benfica is at a totally different level. And if he's on Saturday at the Ladrón, forget about it.
I think that I agree with you because he does bring an aspect of the game that not a lot of players, if few players that Benfica has, have. Which is that explosiveness, that first touch, that quick dribble to get out of challenge.
For those of you that are sitting at home right now, ready to fight me over this, I'm not saying he's Benfica's best player. I'm just having right now. He's the most dangerous. Doesn't mean he's the best, but he's the most dangerous player on the Benfica squad.
I don't think anybody's trying to fight you.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, but I think that
a lot of sharks up north.
The speed that he brings and what he's been able to do and grown in confidence now and playing with these guys that he's playing now, where there's the combinations, there's those little cheeky passes, there's those smart 1-2s to beat defenders, and then there's the speed and there's the explosiveness. I think that if he's able to add goal scoring to his skill set, he could be a real, real good player. But as of right now, I mean, we all know he couldn't hit a barn if he was standing in front of it. But, you know, every once in a while, he does put himself in a good position and he scores. Good for him, and I hope he continues to score. Dave, 8 straight win under Brun Lage, and February, a good February also.
Yeah, so I remember at the beginning of the month, we talked about how important this month was going to be. Lots of games in a short amount of time. So to recap, we got 6 wins from 1 and 1 draw, some key victories against Sporting at the Avalad. Of course, the 10-0 victory against Nacional and our first ever win in Turkey against Galatasaray 2-1. So very good A-plus month, I would add.
Hey, do you guys remember? Roll back the time. Should play
you
some
remember
fancy
the
music.
Time.
Take roll back the time. Do you guys remember when he was appointed head coach?
Ulaj?
And everybody was like, I don't know. I'm not sure this is the right time. The schedule is very heavy. And now the guy, he walked through. I mean, it was like a slalom. And he looked like Lindsey Vonn.
He was like a hot butter.
A hot butter knife.
He was cutting through butter. A hot butter knife.
Not a hot butter.
A hot butter knife cutting through butter.
Yeah, hot butter knife.
He was like a hot knife cutting through butter. Well, that's what I meant. My faca can't.
Yeah, but look, he's just, I mean, Benfica as
has done wonders under this gentleman, and I'm very excited that he's going to be staying for a couple more years here at least.
And Dave, he's got quite a busy March ahead of him. What's on the menu for Lage and Benfica this March?
Yeah, so this Saturday, the 2nd of March, we go up to Porto. Very important match, followed by a trip to Croatia to Dinamo Zagreb on the 7th. Then we go back to home to play Belenenses. Then on the 14th, we play Dinamo Zagreb again in the home fixture. Then an important match again, maybe even more important than the Porto match, but the Moriense game. They've been strong all season, currently sitting in 5th. Taking points away from Porto and Sporting. And we finished the month against Tondela.
So Tondela and Moreirense to finish out the month. And as you mentioned...
Quanto mais dá de chuteca? Danças ao Tondela?
Danças... You screwed that one up.
No, that one, to me, it made sense. No. All right, that was a,
danças ao teu ritmo ou danças ao Tondela?
That was close. Tapa, não tens de perguntar isso tudo. But that was a question we posed to Sportingistas on Tondela... When Tondela nicked them.
So yeah, so quite an interesting month here, starting with Porto, which we'll preview shortly. But you got that trip to Croatia, also Belenenses is sandwiched in between the first and second legs. And as Dave mentioned, Moreirense, who's performing quite well this year, and then Tondela at home. The way we've been at home, almost unplayable at home, or unplayable, I should say. But this Moreirense trip is definitely a tricky one. But before we get into all those games, we do have Porto. And that game happens this Saturday at the Dragão, 8:30 local. Porto is first with 57 points. Benfica is only 1 point behind them. Those 57 points come out of 18 wins, 3 ties, and 2 losses. 47 goals scored, 12 goals allowed. That is the best defense in the Liga NOS. Benfica, 64 goals scored, 20 allowed. Benfica has the best attack. At home, Porto, 10 wins, 0 ties, and 1 loss. That loss coming at the hands of Guimarães. What's Benfica done the last 5 outings at the Dragão, Dave?
1 win, 2 draws, 2 losses. So the last time we won there was in 2014, December. 2-0 victory with Lima scoring both those goals. So it's been a while since we've had success up there, but we all remember Rui Vitória's track record against Porto wasn't that bright.
Yeah. That's right. So as the marquee matchup of what many people are, and I know it's early, but this is definitely a game that whoever wins has an advantage on the other team, and especially the last time Porto lost before they got on this run was against Benfica. Then they went on a tremendous run, and they were consistent. I got to give them that. In the first half of the season, they were a very consistent team, and they deserve to be where they are because of their consistency. But now they seem to be losing some of that steam. So the best attack against the best defense at the Dragão this Saturday. Cristiano, is this the best Benfica of the season that's going into the Dragão?
Come on, man. Is that even a question?
Yeah.
They're playing phenomenal ball. They're just demolishing everyone.
You don't prefer the Benfica that beat Braga under Rui Vitória?
No, I'm
that wasn't a question. Sorry.
I'm very, very, very confident about this game on Saturday. I think Benfica has a legit chance to come out of there with the 3 points in the leadership in the Liga NOS. I'm actually so confident. I think it's going to happen. I think Benfica is going to go into the Dragão. I don't predict this many times, but I do think Benfica is going to go into the Dragão, come away with the 3 points in a very fashionable way. Again, if they play the way they have been playing, hopefully Lage won't go in there and try to, you know, and pull a Jorge Jesus or pull a Rui Vitória on us and invent. If he goes in there and plays the same style with the same intensity that we've played in these last 10 games, with the same pressure, pressing everybody all over the field, getting the ball back as soon as they can and creating space and just playing phenomenal ball, I do think Benfica is going to come away with the win. My question is, will La Máquina, the Terminator, Florentino Diaz, is he going to play alongside Gabriel? I mean, I would do it. I'll throw the kid to the Wolves.
see if he could come out of there, you know, bloody fists and all. But if he could come out of there still with a heartbeat, absolutely. Because I know Samadis has the lead, obviously the leadership, the experience. But this kid is just so phenomenal at getting the ball back.
He's incredible, man.
And so I would love to see that. I think it's his time to shine. Hopefully, you know, Almeida will be back, obviously, as we know. It'll be with Ferro once again. Same thing with Diaz, Grimaldo, Gabriel, and then Rafa on one side, PZ, and then the two guys up top, we already know they are. The only question is going to be, is it Samadis or is it Florentino?
Yeah.
And I'm very confident Florentino. I think, bro, Benfica has been playing lights out. I haven't been this excited for Benfica in a very, very long time. And yeah. I'm so just extra and ultra confident heading into this game.
Dave, what's your feeling like? What's your state of mind going into this game, dude?
Yeah, well, I remember earlier this year I said Porto was going to beat us 3-0 at home. We ended up winning 1-0. Then I thought we were going to beat Porto for the Tasa, ended up losing.
I'm not asking you for a prediction.
That Tasa game, don't have to thrown out the window, bro.
That Tasa game has an asterisk next to it, just like Maguire has an asterisk next to his home run record.
Yeah. Obviously we got to feel confident the way the team's been playing this past couple of weeks now. It's been, and like Chris says, it's been a long time that we've felt this way for this team. And I know sometimes we get accused of, bringing out the lotion and the tissue when we start talking about Bruno Lage, but the results show for it and the eye tests show for it. This team is a completely different team from what we've been accustomed to seeing. And I'm very confident that they go in there and who knows, even put a 4-1 score line up against Porto at their home.
15-0. 15-0. Quem é que vai marcar os gols? O tratador da relva? Sim, também vai. I think that if you're a Benfica fan, not only a Benfica fan, but a fan of football, and you have been watching this Benfica in these past 3-4 weeks, you have to feel confident that that Benfica is playing the best ball out of all the teams in Portugal right now. So their trip to the Dragão, you have to be confident on what you're going up there.
Porto will have all their guys back. I mean, they rested Casillas today, Brahimi, Danilo finally got back on the field today. Marega's back, Suarez is back.
Did Marega play today?
I'm not sure. He was on the bench. So was Brahimi. I'm not sure. I know Suarez got into the game and he scored. But those guys will all be back for Saturday, and at least on paper, they should be 100%. Or you know, very close to 100% to what their starting 11 is their customary starting 11.
Look, Marega with the miraculous recovery, right? Whether or not, you know,
he got some deer antler spray, ate some horse placenta. He's all good now, right? We got to send Jonas some of that horse placenta and deer antler spray.
Here's my thing. Regardless of whether he's fine or not, this is a guy that hasn't played for the past 4 or 5 weeks, has no game rhythm, is a guy that lives off of explosiveness and speed.
Stop trying to jinx me, Fika.
I'm just saying.
I don't.
You got to look at things for what they are.
Marega's a beast. He's a beast. He's the greatest player in Portugal. He's a beast. I don't want to jinx the guy and have. Yes, phenomenal. I don't want to jinx the guy and have the guy score 3 goals against us. Leave him alone. Let's not wake up a beast. He's fine. He's phenomenal.
Just in case he's listening to the podcast.
The guy is just tremendously quick healer. That other guy over there in China is he's phenomenal. Makes a million a year, so obviously he's got to know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And there's David Luiz has been there. Plenty of other players have been there. So the guy is tremendous, and just credit to Marega. And hopefully he's still not 100% on Saturday. And we'll leave it at that. Let's not jinx anybody.
I heard he did you ever watch Karate Kid?
Yes.
He did a Mr. Miyagi on Daniel-san.
Wash off.
And he was cured all of a sudden. Chris,
he gave him a rub and tug.
And let me now on a serious note.
Serious.
and I'll pose this question, and this goes for both teams. What effect do you think a loss can have on Porto and then Benfica?
On Porto, I think it could be more debilitating than it could for Benfica at this point, because Porto, and everyone has read how wonderful Benfica is under this Bruno Lage, how things are different under Bruno Lage, and how this is, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And so right now they're probably challenging that. They're telling themselves, you know, they haven't played anybody. They haven't played anybody like us. We're the most dangerous team that they're going to play. And yes, they did go into Galatasaray.
But they did play Porto already. And we were better than Porto.
In a game that they beat Porto 3-1, though. But ultimately, they got that chip on their shoulder psychologically that they won that game. So aside from that game, yeah, right, they're saying they haven't played anyone else. And I think if Benfica is able to go into the Dragon, come over with the 3 points, then maybe some of that self-doubt will start creeping in. Maybe then they'll start believing, even though the Campeonato is still far from over, because it'll only be 2 points up ahead. And obviously, anything could still happen. Benfica has to play some very tough games and still in the second half. But I think that maybe that doubt starts creeping in. Now, for Benfica, it just becomes one of those, if they don't win at the Dragon, it'll be one of those things that inferiority, you know, that they carry with them for a while. Because we always say Benfica goes into Estadio Dragão with a little bit too much respect. And because they don't seem like the confident team that we see at times, every time they go into the Dragão. And, you know, let's be fair. I mean, Porto's had their way with Benfica more often than not at the Estadio Dragão than the other way around. So I do think that could also creep into the players' minds. But, you know, it'll be a 4-point lead as opposed to a 2-point lead. Obviously, Porto will be a little bit more confident in making up the difference than Benfica will. But the season is still there's what, 9 games left after this one, if I'm not mistaken?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's either 9 or 8 games after this one. So there's still plenty of games to be played. Benfica still needs to go to Braga, even though, you know, they've had their way with Braga. But again, anything could happen. There's still some tough games on the schedule. Porto has realistically, with the exception of Sporting, they've played everybody tough on the schedule already. So, look, it's going to be a very tough game on Saturday. But I think Benfica, right now, man, I mean, look, if I had a million and I had to bet them, I'm confident Benfica comes away with the 3 points.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, right? So if Benfica ties with Porto, if it comes down to that they're tied at the end of the championship, they equal themselves in points, Benfica will have the head-to-head because they'll have the advantage, because the head-to-head is what counts, and they've already beat them at the Stade de
Luz. That's if they draw this weekend.
That's if they draw this weekend.
And then eventually finish right, tied on points. Level.
Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, if you're a Benfica fan, you got to feel confident about what your chances are going into this game, regardless of who's on the other side or not, regardless if Porto is 100%.
I mean, this is a real test. I know Benfica played them for the semifinal of the Taça da Liga, but this is a real test. This is not in Braga. This is not at a stadium that you know, obviously Porto's not gonna didn't have the same support that they're gonna have at the Dragão. It was a neutral stadium. It's going to be a very tough ask. And we'll see if, you know, João Félix, say, Omar and Barbarijo, or no. These are the games that you're going to see if these guys are, you know, are the real deal or not.
And, I'll pose you a question about that in a second. But I wanted to ask Dave. Dave, do you think that Benfica having lost that game for the Final Four of the League Cup against Porto and coming away from that game knowing that for the most part they were better than Porto, do you think that in Benfica's mind they really think they could beat this Porto because they've already faced them and they played much better than them?
Oh, I believe so. And if anything, I hope it goes the other way against for Porto, where they have some sort of false hope that, oh well, we beat them 3-1, so maybe we can take it easy on them. But yeah, this team is coming in full confidence right now, top of their game, and it's kind of worrying for me, because usually I'm very nervous and scared for these games with Porto, but for some reason, like I don't have that nervousness, and I really think we're gonna pull out and completely dominate them at their house. Now, we know how this club operates, and who knows what their game tactic is going to be with their coach. Could be, might want to take it and make it a rough style type of game, a lot of fouls, slow the pace down, and that fits more to their type of style. But if this game is wide open and Benfica scores a goal within the first 15 minutes, watch out, because this has the makings to get ugly real fast.
Yeah, let's hope that the VAR doesn't go offline also, as it's gone at the Dragão a couple times this year. But Cristiano, what I wanted to ask you, and you mentioned Barbarija, right? You're talking about if Florentino does play in this game, and you got João Félix, you got Florentino, you got Ferro, two young kids that despite having played in the second league, three. Well, Felix.
Well, you mentioned all three. That's why I said three. But you mean two kids that have been on a B team for most of the season,
right? And despite them playing against men, how do you think they're going to in the second league? How do you think they're going to handle the atmosphere at the Dragão and perhaps some of the physicality of the game?
Well, that's a huge question mark. First of all, I know they played against men, but they didn't play with anyone of the caliber of a Futebol Clube do Porto. And then on top of it, it's going to be, as I mentioned, in Galatasaray, a very intimidating stadium for these youngsters. These are youngsters that obviously grew up in Portugal and are very aware of the rivalry with Benfica and Porto. Look, they've handled it in other situations. We'll see what happens here. I have no doubt that they'll be able to come and, you know, bring their best and play their A game on Saturday. But again, it's with young players. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
That's the reason why you play experienced players over inexperienced players in certain situations, because you never know how the inexperienced young players or even veterans that are inexperienced, how they're going to react. And so we'll have to wait until the game to see how they come out. But I have no doubt that they can do it, because they've played, you know, in pressure-packed situations, not at this level. They played in the Youth Champions League for Benfica. And then, as you mentioned, they got promoted in playing second division against men. But again, it's nothing compared to what they're going to see on Saturday.
No. So Saturday, 8:30 local. Don't miss it. That's definitely going to be one of the games of the season.
3:30 New York.
Hopefully it will be a fair game. It will be a well officiated game.
Yeah, that's a huge question. Are they going to play against 11 or 14?
Yeah. Look, we can only hope, right, that the game is as fair and called equally for both teams, because the last thing I want is to have one whole week of CMTV, SIC Noticias, RTP, TVI, talking about all the cases that happened with refereeing, what's fair, what's not a foul, and what's the red card. So I only hope that if Benfica does play, not limited by those facts and those circumstances and those outside factors, I think that Benfica has a good chance. And I just want it to be an open game and a good game. And I think if it is, I think that then Benfica has the best chance to really come out of there with the 3 points.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nothing. You can't top that off, but the refereeing, like, we know how it is, and the media in Portugal doesn't help the situation at all. But even Twitter after the games, and just, you know, everybody, if it doesn't go our way, just shut our mouth and be better than they are.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it. That's all we got for this week. We will be back next week. We'll recap this Porto game and look ahead to Benfica's next game, which I believe will be Dinamo Zagreb. And then Bulnes also. So we'll look ahead to those games. I have a huge recap on the Porto game, win or loss, promise. And that's it. That's it for me. You've been listening to the Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo. Cristiano is here. Dave de Oliveira has been here. Anything you guys want to add before we say sayonara?
Forza Benfica. And hopefully we'll be here on Tuesday with a smile on our faces, celebrating an important victory at the Dragão. Believe we might have a couple of guests in the building as well.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that as it gets closer. But yeah, man, Forza Benfica, let's go. Let's go get them.
Let's go. See everybody. Thanks for listening. Ciao.